Ah, Deck, I said. Don't leave us. I'm going to the Jacks to give you two a chance to pull yourselves together. You, Chuckles, to Sean. It's your round. Checking that they're all in place, Sean told me, aside, motioning to his hairline. You messed them up. See that one there? It's gone all... Deck gave us both the finger and started off through the crowd towards the Jacks, trying to stay dignified as he edged between buttocks and waving pints, and concentrating hard on ignoring both our burst of laughter and the brunette. He actually fell for that, for a minute there, Sean said. Idiot. Same again. And he headed up to the bar. While I had a moment to myself, I texted Melissa. Having a few with the guys. Ring you later. Love you. She texted me back straight away. I sold the mad steampunk armchair and a bunch of firework emojis. The designer was so happy she cried on the phone, and I was so happy for her I almost did too. Smiley face. Say hi to the guys for me. I love you too. XXX. Melissa ran a tiny shop in Temple Bar that sold quirky Irish design stuff. Funny little sets of interconnected china vases, cashmere blankets in zingy neon colours, hand-carved drawer knobs shaped like sleeping squirrels or spreading trees. She'd been trying to sell that armchair for years. I texted her back. Congratulations, you sales demon, you. Sean came back with the pints and Deck came back from the Jacks, looking a lot more composed, but still intently avoiding the brunette's eye. We asked your woman what she thinks, Sean told him. She says the plugs are lovely. She said she's been admiring them all night, I said. She wants to know, can she touch them? She wants to know, can she lick them? Stick it up your holes. I'll tell you why she keeps looking over at you anyway, fuck features, Deck said to me, pulling up his stool. It's not because she fancies you. It's only because she saw your smarmy mug in the paper. She's trying to remember, were you in there for conning a granny out of her savings or shagging a 15-year-old? Which she wouldn't care about either way, unless she fancied me. In your dreams. Fame's gone to your head. My picture had been in the paper a couple of weeks earlier. The social pages, which had netted me a ferocious amount of slagging, because I'd happened to be chatting to a long-serving soap actress at a work thing. An exhibition opening. At the time, I did the PR and marketing for a medium-sized, fairly prestigious art gallery in the centre of town, just a few laneways and shortcuts away from Grafton Street. It wasn't what I'd had in mind when I was finishing college. I had been planning on one of the big PR firms. I'd only gone to the interview for the practice. Once I got there, though, I found myself unexpectedly liking the place. The tall, barely renovated Georgian house with all the floors at weird angles. Richard, the owner, peering at me through his lopsided glasses and inquiring about my favourite Irish artists. Luckily, I had prepped for the interview, so I could actually come up with semi-sensible answers. And we had a long, happy conversation about Labrucki and Pauline Buick and various other people I had barely heard of before that week. I liked the idea of having a free hand, too. In a big firm, I would have spent my first couple of years huddled in front of a computer, obediently watering and pruning other people's ideas of brilliant social media campaigns, dithering over whether to delete racist troll comments about some horrifying new flavour of crisp, or leave them up to generate buzz